It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want here on our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. We're here live on this Saturday edition of Free Talk Live with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Chris.
Of course, you can bring up whatever you want. That's the point of the show. We also bring things to the table that we think you might find interesting. We're going to start out tonight with the good old boy network, specifically when it applies at the highest levels, because every town, you know, every little city, every town has the good old boy network.
The people who are in government,
the old families in town, the big businessmen in town, they all scratch each other's backs for the most part. But it's even worse, of course, at a city level when you've got a massive municipality with a huge budget.
Huge tax base.
And even bigger levels of corruption and good old boyness. So that's where we're starting here tonight. And then we'll get into billionaire Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, and how he's been stirring it up within the Democratic Party.
He sure has.
And it's been pretty interesting to watch that. So I'd like to talk about all those things. But again, you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And it's Super Bowl weekend, apparently. As I understand it.
What do you mean, apparently?
That's what I've heard.
It is Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah. I have no plans.
I cannot tell by your body paint what team you are supporting.
I couldn't even tell you who's playing. I think I heard a rumor that the Patriots are back in.
Damn Skippy.
Okay. That's about all I know.
And I just said damn Skippy because it means as much to me as it does to you. That's okay. But
I don't know if you're damning Skippy along. Who was the quarterback of the other team.
I don't know if there's a quarterback Skippy. But I'll tell you who is going to be a very, very happy guy. The big winner tomorrow.
You can pick the winner is what you're saying.
I am. It's not going to be the Patriots. It's not going to be the Rams.
Okay.
It is going to be Arthur Blank.
Is that his actual last name?
Yes, that's his actual. And he Mr. Blank started a little hardware store years ago called Home Depot.
No,
you may have heard of Home Depot before.
Yeah,
but Mr. Blank is definitely the one who is going to do the best tomorrow on or off field. It doesn't matter. Falcons owner Arthur Blank will collect all of the Super Bowl. 53?
I have no idea.
Super Bowl 53 revenue, even though taxpayers own the stadium. This is brought to us by FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education.
That's a great site. FEE.org.
It is, and they have been knocking it out of the park lately.
They always do.
I know. I usually bring in a FEE story a week or every other week. Today, I wasn't even really paying attention. They were just all good stories, and it was 3 out of 4 were all FEE stories. Mm. On Sunday, the eyes of the nation will fall on Atlanta's brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, site of the 53rd Super Bowl. As players and spectators pour into the city, they'll be dazzled by a state-of-the-art retractable roof and an enormous wraparound digital screen. What will be less apparent to thousands of spectators and millions of television viewers is a different kind of innovation, a carefully concealed legal clause that will privatize future profits on the publicly funded stadium.
Hmm.
The gnarled history of building professional sports stadiums with taxpayer funds is a long one.
I mean, this happens all the time.
It does.
I think it would be a challenge to actually find stadiums that were privately funded in the U.S.
God, and somebody did bring up an example. There is. And I want to say it's Green Bay or somewhere in Wisconsin. I'm don't quote me on that one.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That actually rings a bell. I feel like we've talked about that in the past.
I think you're right.
And that may be the only one.
Yep. Taxpayer funds have attracted some unwelcome attention in recent years, leading team owners and mayors to become more circumspect in how they publicize the millions they receive from cities in the name of economic development.
See, that's what it's all about, Chris.
That's all it is.
You just hate business, don't you?
Yes.
Because this is designed to help. This is designed to help those businesses in downtown, wherever it is.
And revitalize.
Where is this happening, by the way? I'm sorry.
In Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
You paid no attention to
I remember hearing that now that you mention it, but yeah, no.
It isn't Atlanta. Yeah, this is its latest thing. And, of course, the story's going to get into it, but I guarantee you I've read enough of these. You know, we promise to revitalize downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to bring tourism. We are going to bring jobs.
Well, isn't that what happens when you throw money? when you just throw money around at big businessmen in an arbitrary geographic area? Doesn't that make everything better?
That is what they would like to believe, and I do believe
that. Well, what I want to know is does anyone out there actually listening to the show believe that?
Right. That's a good question.
Who buys this?
Right. Well, have stadiums brought economic booms to a large town in your state? You know, is it your capital? Maybe you live in one of these cities that just recently got a big, shiny new stadium. Has it brought, manna from heaven?
I think that there's been some studies and that shows that it really doesn't do much of anything. But also, and it sounds like you have some of that information, but also, even if it did benefit the businesses, and I'm sure to some extent it does, like if you run a restaurant right across the street from, the stadium, you're probably going to do a little better than you had previously. But it's at the cost of everyone else. It's at the cost of every other restaurant in town.
Right.
It's at the cost of every business and every taxpayer in that city, that extra business that is given to the adjacent businesses to the stadium. That's not fair.
This reminds me of playing SimCity.
Mm-hmm.
A game I used to enjoy until I realized what a horrible central planner I am. But that is literally it. You're playing SimCity. You're designing things in certain areas.
Yep.
And you throw in a big, shiny new stadium, and everything goes up around it.
Boom.
But everything drops everywhere else because now they need something else to... Now you're competing with yourself. Your city is competing with yourself, and that makes no sense. Numerous studies demonstrate that promises of, quote, economic development, unquote, around stadiums rarely materialize.
Yep.
Tax revenues don't rise despite huge public investments, and per capita income is actually damaged by the presence of a stadium. Hmm. At best, dining and entertainment dollars are relocated from elsewhere in the city. Nevertheless, with threats of moving the franchise to Atlanta's suburbs or even to Los Angeles, Mayor Kasem Reed and franchise owner Arthur Blank extracted the promise of nearly $250 million in taxpayer funds to keep the team in town. Now, that's another thing. They all love to play this. We need a new stadium, and I'm sorry.
Did you say $250 million?
$250 million. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good payday. Wait, there's even better paydays coming up.
Okay.
But this is the game that mayors and city councils and NFL team owners, it's every sport. It's not just the NFL. But they all threaten to leave.
Right.
I
Well, you won't have a team anymore.
Exactly.
And everyone knows how important it is to have a team. There's no identity for the people. The people couldn't possibly bond with one another over anything else.
Well, the Lakers have always been in Los Angeles, except when they were in, Minneapolis or something.
Hell if I know.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of the movie Basketball. Did you ever see that?
No, but isn't that by the South Park guys?
It is. It's by the South Park guys. But it's sort of this backyard game that sprung up because fans were leaving all sports because every team was moving. They were all moving. They were just going to the highest bidder.
Well,
players
it's meaningless
were moving.
Anyway, because
right.
I think it was Mark who pointed this out before. Even if it's a team that has stayed and originated in and stayed in the area, let's say Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something like that, they're still not the same team they were the year previous, and probably 0 to 1% of the players are actually from the region. They're bringing them in from all over the place, and they get shuffled around everywhere.
Right.
So it's not like there's anything regional about the team except for the owner.
Yeah, well, you do have some hometown pride. I can understand that. I can see that. I had pride in my hometown.
Those people aren't from your hometown. The players aren't.
Right. But they're playing for me, and that's what's important.
Maybe the cheerleaders are from the area. Maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe.
That's possible.
I'll have to do an in-depth investigation of NFL cheerleaders to find this out.
It's an important task.
There we go. And it's been delegated to me. So the billions in revenues the Falcons will generate in ticket sales and advertising won't pay back the city for its maligned investment. The NFL franchise will pay neither rent nor property taxes.
Wow, that's a sweet deal. And there's more to the story, right?
So yeah.
We'll share that here in moments. And again, my question is, does anybody out there actually think this is good, that these taxpayer-funded stadiums are desirable? The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free, take control of the airwaves here. Our number, 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3733. Tonight in the studio, it's Ian.
And Chris.
Of course, you can bring up whatever you want. That's the point here. On the way, we can talk about Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, shaking it up already in the presidential primary. Which has been very interesting to watch.
Big time.
We'll talk about that. We're discussing corruption in the world of the Super Bowl, specifically the stadium itself that is paid for by taxpayers. And apparently the taxpayers, meaning the government, won't be seeing any profits out of it. All the profits that it makes will be going straight to the stadium owner.
Straight to Home Depot.
Yeah, or the team owner or whatever. I'm not sure who owns the place, but...
yeah, you know, but it's, sort of... this is not unusual. This is how these deals are usually rigged, and you can bet along the way a lot of politicians and a lot of, you know, big build, their favorite building contractors got their palms greased. And
oh, yeah, that, there's some big money that goes into these things.
Happen.
So if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. As I predicted, Chris, not a single person in the audience has bothered to call in and say they support this kind of taxpayer-funded sports stadium deal, which, of course, happens all across the United States. And despite presumably it being unpopular, because if it were a popular idea, surely we'd get a caller to defend it. But presumably it's unpopular, but yet it happens anyway, because these governments can do whatever it is they want to do. And what are you going to do about it?
Right, and who's going to vote against it? You know, when your politicians come in, you know, we've been in talks with, and we thought our team was going to leave. I mean, we thought we'd lose the Mighty Mud Ducks or whoever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the hard work of your mayor and city council, we have negotiated what we feel is a great deal. Heck, it's better than we thought it was. When we ran our numbers, I mean, we're going to have quadrillions of dollars in tax revenue flowing in. We'll probably be giving tax cuts left and right because of all the money this is going to generate. The jobs, Ian, the jobs.
See, that's important.
Yeah. And
we need to trump up some jobs by forcing everybody in the area to pay to create them.
Right.
By taxing the rest of the businesses in the city to transfer wealth to apparently the owner of Home Depot.
Yep.
Or the founder of Home Depot. I guess he didn't make enough money when he was, you know, raking it in off of Home Depot. He needs to get even more free money from the taxpayers.
Well, I don't fault the guy for making a boatload of money on Home Depot.
No, great.
Good for him. But the whole thing is all these teams have figured out the secret, their own secret sauce. Mm-hmm. The secret sauce is you always threaten to leave.
Yep.
You hold out until you get the best possible, the most lucrative deal, because governments will fall for this left and right. Now, I have no doubt that Arthur Blank absolutely knows what the effect is because he negotiated this contract, or his people did, and he got a sweetheart deal. But government, you know, bean counters, I mean, really, politicians, do you think they realize how devastating? I think half of them probably think this is a great thing.
Well, right. So these stadiums are already losers as far as financial is concerned. I mean, they're screwing the taxpayers over to a tremendous amount of money, billions of dollars.
Yes.
In this case. And then if they lose the team later, so, you know, they stay for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, they lose the team, you now have a stadium. And it's generating no revenue.
Right.
So, I mean, it was already a bad deal because all the revenue is going into the pocket of the team owner, but now it's generating no revenue whatsoever for anybody.
Well, you can fix that, Ian. That's easy enough. All you got to do is get out your checkbook and start promising, you know, 10-year tax windows for a new team to come in, or maybe it's using the old stadium for a new sport.
Yeah, but who wants an old stadium?
Well, there's a lot of different teams, you know, and there's a lot of different leagues and things like that. So I'm sure somebody's out there and somebody will take it, and you're just going to sweeten the pot. And better yet, if you come to East Bumducky wherever we're talking
Bumducky,
about.
Bumducky, that's a good one.
We, in 5 years, will build you a new stadium, too. Right.
Yeah.
So it will just repeat.
Just bend over, because they've got you over a barrel, and they're just not going to stop. This is crazy. We can go to your calls and thoughts. You can bring up what you want. The toll-free number here is 855-450. For you have more information about this? Is there worth sharing? We'll get into that. David's on the line in New Mexico to start things out here, listening via TuneIn. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to complete the list of New Mexico hypocrite criminal judges that have been busted since I've been paying attention this last decade. I had given you the judge that just got arrested, Deborah Davis Walker, family court judge, drunk driving, caused a crash. And so she got busted the other day. And then before her, let's throw in that Monica Youngblood, the legislator that was pushing for tougher drunk driving.
The judge who got popped, didn't she actually cause an accident first? So it wasn't just that she was swerving on the road. She actually got into an accident. That's how they caught on to her.
Yeah, she did a U-turn without noticing a car was coming, and there was a crash, and then there was the throwing in that drunk legislator that was actually tough on drunk driving, trying to get bills passed, and then she herself does a drunk driving thing.
Was this Monica Youngblood or somebody else? Okay,
Youngblood. Yeah. And there's video of Youngblood getting angry with the police over her detention.
Yeah, highly entertaining. Her lapel cam video is as entertaining as anything you find on cable TV.
Yeah,
and then she diluted her probation urine sample, trying to get away with being able to drink while she's on probation restrictions.
Whoops!
And then there was a
probably accidentally.
Judge, I threw it. Accidentally, yes. two to four quarts is what they have to dilute it by 2 to 4 quarts to make it too dilute to test. So somehow 2 to 4 quarts of additional fluid got in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then there was going back, I don't know, 8-10 years, there was a chief judge, John Brennan, I believe, who got busted for cocaine and beating his girlfriend, and he had to resign. And then before that, and by the way, this all centers on the University of New Mexico Law School. All of these people, this is a very homogenous, incestuous legal market.
Sure.
Almost none of these people have gone to other universities, other law schools, and then come back. Most of them go to the University of New Mexico Law School and then stay here.
Sounds like kind of a party school. I'm not so sure at a young age I wouldn't have wanted to go there.
Well, our Monday night co-host, Melanie, went to law school not in New Mexico, but in Louisiana, and she said that the school actually threw parties with open bars, unlimited alcohol for their students.
Wow.
Regularly.
Right, yeah.
What school was this?
I was just going to throw in when you throw in the party thing. I know a guy who is in that circle. He's not in the legal industry. He's just friends with a bunch of people that are all of these people that I've been mentioning. He used to party with them, you know, back like say 10, 15, even 20 years ago. And there was cocaine. They would have parties and there was cocaine flowing in addition to the legal alcohol. There was cocaine flowing at all these parties and some wife swapping going on here and there.
And those people snorting the cocaine, many of them go on to become prosecutors who then put people in jail for it.
Or cocaine.
Yeah. And the next guy, there was another guy in the same time frame as Brennan. I don't even remember this guy, this judge's name. He was drunk and he blew through a red light and there just happened to be a cop sitting at that intersection. And I forget if he actually hit the cop car or if the cop car just saw him go through the red light and pulled him over. But so that was another drunk driving.
David,
judge.
Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the stories. Nothing like some good corruption stories.
Right.
Thank you. And there's never a shortage of these. He was just talking about his area.
Right.
More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
Talk Live. Dial in, toll free, bring up whatever you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. And hey, if you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty, you can do it from the back of your car with libertystickers.com. You can reach thousands of people with a bumper sticker, and you know that people love to read them, so check out the vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic Liberty-oriented messages over at libertystickers.com, and Liberty Stickers will also do custom orders for you. So, you know, got some stickers you want to make? Well, they'll do it for you, whether it's, you know, your own group locally, your business, or whatever it is you want to promote. libertystickers.com. We've been talking about government corruption surrounding football stadiums and other stadiums, sports stadiums, where these stadium owners who are already very, very rich people basically get some of the most atrocious corporate welfare on the planet, with billions of taxpayer dollars going to build these stadiums, hundreds of millions for each individual stadium, sometimes more than that.
Yeah.
So we're talking about that. You're welcome to weigh in here if you want. You can also bring up anything. Toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. You've got a story from the Foundation for Economic Education about this Atlanta stadium.
Yeah.
Where it's owned, apparently, some sort of partnership between the city and the owner of Home Depot?
I don't think so. I'm sure both were involved, but, you know, it ends up being a publicly owned building.
But he somehow gets the profits, the Home Depot owner.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But what'd you think, the taxpayers were going to get back paid back?
Like, nope. I didn't think that for a moment.
They paid $250 million just to keep the team there.
Wow.
And then they had to pony up for the stadium.
Apparently $600 million, is that right?
Yeah.
For the stadium?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
The billions in revenue the Falcons will generate in ticket sales and advertising won't pay the city back for its malinvestment. The NFL franchise will pay neither rent nor property taxes. So what a deal.
Is it really an investment if you're not risking your own money?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would say that does not meet the requirements for what you would call an investment.
Yeah, that's just a straight-up subsidy.
Right.
Right.
And that's all this is. Yeah. This is the politicians of Atlanta taking a bet, but they're not covering their bet. They're letting the taxpayers cover the bet. So all the risks and costs of the stadium have been socialized, and its profits will be privatized. Important distinction there. This is the frequent pattern of collusion between local government officials.
What do you call that? That's not total fascism, right? And that's not socialism all the way. It's like kind of a mix between both of them, right? Because if socialism is government ownership of the means of production, this kind of is that, but it's also not.
Right, so, but it then gives it to
a private owner.
Right. I think fascism would be closest. I mean, none of it's possible without government involvement, yet the private sector. But who are we kidding me? Mm-hmm. Who are we kidding? I mean, the politicians are going to do great, too.
That's true.
The Falcons general manager turned CEO Rich McKay extorted a new publicly funded stadium for the people of Tampa before turning his sights on Atlanta. Hmm. When originally announced, the stadium was slated to cost the city $200 million.
Wow. It went up by threefold.
Oh, it's cost overruns.
Yeah, well, it's to be expected. Whenever it's a government deal, it's going to be overruns.
Right.
There's going to be costs that are way higher. They are always going to run into trouble. The construction company is going to be like, oh, well, we thought it was going to be $200 million, but
so here's
we're in the middle of it. It looks like it's going to be three times that.
And this is the first thing they sold. They sold was it's going to cost $200 million, with remaining costs borne by the Atlanta Falcons and team owner Arthur Blank.
How'd they change that one?
No one should begrudge Blank for his $4.6 billion net worth, which he earned as co-founder of Home Depot, but we might reasonably expect him to finance his own pet project rather than fleecing ordinary Georgians already struggling to make ends meet. Proponents of the deal claim that the Atlanta residents won't be footing the bill since the public funds were coming from a new hotel tax, which is primarily paid by visitors. In the fine print of the stadium agreement, though, was a subtle clause that negated the cost cap altogether. All future funds from the hotel tax would be put into a revenue-sharing agreement benefiting the stadium, the team, and its owner. The cost of maintaining and upgrading the stadium will remain taxpayer-funded in perpetuity.
So this hotel tax continues to be funneled into both the city and the owner's pockets?
Oh, no. All future funds, all future funds from the hotel tax would be put into a revenue sharing agreement benefiting the stadium, the team, and the owner. So I guess the, stadium, quote unquote,
is the city,
becomes
though, right?
It becomes sort of self-funding, sort of, but certainly not by any stretch. So
well, see, what do you think about that, Chris? I mean, see, it's just the hotel tax. See, that's not so bad, right?
Now people from out of town are going to pay it anyway, right?
That's the idea. You've got to come to Atlanta for business. If you're going to come to see the you know, the Falcons or whatever, you're going to fly in. You're flying in for seeing family members. You got to stay somewhere. And if we tax every single hotel in the area, most people aren't going to, you know, they're not going to go outside the Atlanta downtown to stay somewhere because you don't have to travel too far. You have to pay for an Uber to get in. I mean, people are going to stay in those hotels no matter what. So, see, this isn't on the backs of the Atlanta taxpayers.
The hotel tax will be paid by people from out of town.
Yeah.
And I will venture a fair number of Atlanta politicians for at least a couple hours at a time. That would be my guess.
But no, I mean, doesn't that make everything better? I mean, if it's true that all these hundreds of millions of dollars came from one hotel tax,
right?
Which is amazing if that's really the truth.
A lot of tourism down there.
Then there you go. I mean, what's the problem with that? Is there anything wrong? It seems less objectionable.
It does seem less objectionable, but I think the part that Fee has a real issue with is then splitting the profits more heavily towards Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons team. They're the ones who make out the best out of all this. Yes. So a portion goes to the city. That is true, but why should a portion of any public works go towards a private corporation?
Sure. I mean, look, on its face, I was just bringing up the claim, but it's still wrong because it's still a transfer of wealth. Okay. In this case, it's transferring wealth from the people who are just trying to come to the area to visit and charging them more. And I don't know how much more, but I've been to some, New York City, for instance, the hotel tax is insane.
Sure.
I mean, it's, $50 a night.
Yeah.
Or something crazy like that.
And at $500 a seat, is this really going to benefit the average person in Atlanta? Are they going to get to go out and see a game?
Right. And not everybody traveling to Atlanta is some well-heeled business person.
Sure.
There's plenty of people traveling to Atlanta who just need a place to stay. Whatever reason, they're there to visit family, or they're flying or whatever, and they would prefer to stay in as cheap of an accommodation as possible. Well, guess what? You just made the cheapest accommodations more expensive because of the sports stadium that 90% of the people, probably 95% of the people who ever visit Atlanta will never go and see. If you're going to Atlanta, it's probably not to go to the sports stadium. There's probably a zillion other reasons why you're going to a big city like that.
A lot of great reasons to go to Atlanta.
So all of those people who are never going to go to the stadium are subsidizing the games for everybody who does. And, they're not going to make the tickets any cheaper, that's for sure.
Well, some bright news. All the money from ticket sales and concessions, I was going to say that goes to the people, too. But that actually all goes to Blank, too. So he actually, if you buy a beer in the stadium, Arthur Blank owes you a thank you on that.
And he's going to get right on that. He's going to sign a personal card for you.
In addition to its portion of the stadium itself, Atlanta shelled out $30 million in sales tax breaks for construction, $24 million in land value, and a yet undetermined sum to build the elaborate snake-like bridge above the four-lane Northside Drive. This is known as the $27 million bridge too far.
I have a story about that as well. I was holding it for tomorrow night, so I don't want to get into it. We've definitely already hit some corruption pretty hard and that one's pretty ridiculous. But there's actually a little bit of good news. Apparently, there is going to be another privately run stadium, and Reason.com has a story about apparently the Los Angeles Rams.
Sweet.
Building one without using taxpayer funding. My God, it's actually possible. What do you know? We're coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our toll free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
Don't forget, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com, your premier source for everything Bitcoin related. It's been a decade since Bitcoin was released. Its birthday was early January. And it's doing great, as a matter of fact. Some people would say, well, the price is down. Well, only if you compare it to December of 2017. Otherwise, right. It's up compared to the entire history of Bitcoin since before about August of 2017.
Right.
So it's still doing very, very well. And it is the cryptocurrency, the first one in the world that has empowered people to get their money, to get their value that you've created for yourself out of the old money system, out of the hands of the banks and the governments. Go to Bitcoin.com. You can take their Bitcoin.com Academy there. It's free to do that. And that'll teach you the basics about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And I highly recommend you do that. Learn more about Bitcoin over at Bitcoin.com. We've been talking about government corruption around these taxpayer-funded stadiums, which it just needs to end. There's no reason for this. When you get into business, you're supposed to take a risk.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point of getting into business is you're putting yourself out there. You're putting your idea out there, whether it be to open a restaurant or a stadium or, you know, you're manufacturing something or whatever it is that your vision is. You have a vision for what you think the marketplace is going to respond to. And
you hope you're right.
You put your own money or your time and effort and other people's money who voluntarily gave you money, investors,
right.
Into this idea, and you give it your best shot. And if it doesn't work out, only you and your investors lose out. But in the case of these taxpayer-funded stadiums, woo-hoo, just let it ride. It doesn't matter because it wasn't a dime of your own money. It was all funded by taxpayers. It was all funded through coercion, which is how taxes are funded. You know, if you don't pay the tax, they're going to steal your home from you or possibly throw you in a prison cell.
Right.
So funded through the threat of violence, you just get a free stadium. And you get all the money that you can possibly make from that point on. You don't have to return on investment. You don't have to pay back a debt.
Nope.
You don't have to pay back investors or anything like that. I mean, it is just the craziest thing. And not a single person can defend this because
no.
They haven't bothered to call in. I understand.
Right.
If you support this, you know, you're already winning because in most places, this is what's happening.
Right.
But the news that I have to follow up your story, which is about the corruption in Atlanta surrounding the new stadium there, the $600 million stadium where all the profits are going to roll right into the pockets of apparently one of the founders of Home Depot, Master Blank, Eric Bohm over at the Hit and Run blog on Reason.com points out that apparently there is another example of a non-taxpayer-funded, meaning privately funded stadium that's being built, and it's actually apparently the Los Angeles Rams who are doing it. We can tell you a little bit more about that coming up here. You can bring up anything you want, though. Let's go to the phones. To the phone, we got Bob in Virginia Beach listening to WNIS. Bob, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris.
Oh, yeah. How are you doing today? So
welcome.
I just wanted to quickly make a segue into foreign policy.
Yeah, sure.
Real quick, just a couple bullet points that I think. First off, we should quit doing business with dictators. We should make it so that Russia is no longer against us by investing with them so that they do not invest in dictatorships either. That way we don't have to have proxy wars. And we start drilling our own oil instead of, importing it when we can import a lot more oil to ourselves.
Isn't there actually a ban on drilling oil inside the United States?
Yeah, well, that's because it's a bunch of hippies as opposed to people with common sense.
Yeah,
you know
but I will say this. Sometimes it does make economic sense to acquire a particular product. I'm not saying oil's it, but acquire it from somewhere else. So, for example, the Japanese. Should the Japanese only produce their own oil?
Well, they can't produce their own oil, I don't believe.
Well, I don't think he was saying that we should exclusively buy oil locally, but just to make it so you can do it would be nice, right?
Yeah, but that was kind of my point, that each one of these things needs to be considered. And when you're wealthy in resources, why not exploit those resources? That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And, yeah, here we have vast... is the United States, maybe you know, I think it's the number one or number two in, you know, known reserves in the world. It's crazy.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say one more thing, and that is if we do not deal with these dictators and stuff like that, then what we can do is we can actually show ourselves to be the beacon of freedom.
Yeah.
We don't have to go over to different countries to you know, protect our national interests.
I like what you're saying there. So would you also agree, Bob, that not only should the U.S. government not deal with dictators, but shouldn't they also remove the military, the troops from the, what, 100-plus countries that they're currently occupying in various different military bases? Don't you agree that those bases ought to just be shut down and the military troops removed and brought back to the United States?
Well, I kind of do agree with that. However, in the case of World War II and whatnot, I know that things have changed a lot and that people would probably get their butts kicked if they decide to invade someone in Europe, let's say. But what we should do is we should remove ourselves from any dictatorship, no longer protect them, no longer do anything for the people. And then on top of that, what we should do is we should destroy all the militaries that decide they want to commit genocide on their own people, and we should stop going into war so people don't think that we're committing genocide.
Hold on, didn't you just say, wait, did I misunderstand you? You said we should destroy the militaries that are doing bad things to their people, but then not also, at the same time, not get involved with dictators. So I don't think you can do destroying and not getting involved.
No, sir, I am saying, sir, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about not propping up the governments that are, you know, tin pot dictators. What I'm saying is if the guy from Syria was actually gassing his own people and killing them by the hundreds of thousands, which is supposedly happening, then what we should do is we should simply fire a bunch of missiles into their air bases and destroy their air bases. You know, no casualties. Give them a warning, but
no casualties.
Destroy the infrastructure that they use.
There may be.
I'm saying if we give them a warning, not
so
enough.
Clear it out. We're going
to
bomb you.
Bases.
That's what you're saying?
Incoming.
Well, I mean, hey, well, I'm saying, or they can. You know,
so you actually don't believe in withdrawing from the world. I'm sorry. Maybe we miscommunicated.
I do believe with withdrawing.
You believe
from the world,
in killing people in foreign militaries that you don't like.
No, sir. I did not say that. I said I believe in destroying the infrastructure that would give them enough time to evacuate.
Because we've all seen how good the U.S. government is about hitting its targets that they're supposed killing
strikes.
You know,
yes,
killing wedding parties and hospitals.
What you're saying. Well, no, sir, but if you see bases and you see air bases that are actually big air bases and stuff like that,
what
you can do is you can fire a few missiles in there.
Sure, if you're the world's police. So you support the U.S. government being the world's police, basically.
Not necessarily. I support people. I believe that people should be given the chance to actually have some semblance of, you know, safety in their own homes and stuff like that without having the military come by and gas your neighborhood because they want to, because you don't have the same political opinions as the dictator that is currently occupying that government.
Now, Chris, you're former military.
I am.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like you're interested. Safety is important to you. You feel that is important to everyone. And sometimes people just need to be taken out, or at least their infrastructure does.
Well, yes, sir, to a certain extent. I'm not saying that I believe that we should, you know, go in with military soldiers, gung-ho, boots on the ground, let's kill all these ragheads or whatever the hell people say nowadays.
Right.
What I think we should do is we should take it easy, we should back out, because our military presence with boots on the ground is doing a lot more damage than, you know, firing a few missiles at some planes that are parked on some Syrian airbase that was used to supposedly gas and barrel bomb their own people.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I mean, there is a big difference. And I do believe that we should withdraw, and we should withdraw from the dictatorships as far as putting bases in Saudi Arabia to defend for oil reasons.
So withdraw, like, but shoot some missiles on the way out, basically.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying seriously cause damage to people or something like that. I'm saying, like, if we had someone threaten us with a bomb in our air bases, let's say, and there was given a 1 minute warning or a 1 hour warning, let's say, and they had missiles coming in, detected it on radar and stuff like that, and we were completely ill-equipped to defend ourselves, people would probably be backing out. People would be like, all right, let's regroup and regather.
I like your idea. I question how well it would actually work, just because, you know, you've got some crazy people that will throw... They'll throw human shields in there. They'll say, and then they'll come back and say, look what America did to us.
You mean bringing some innocence from
surrounding
areas?
They'll do that left and right. But I admire you thinking these things through. You know, that's the point of this, is we try to come up with solutions that eliminate bloodshed. I mean, that's where we want to go. Unfortunately, we live in a world where there are a lot of people really enamored with it. My last thing I would ask if you think about is, where do you draw the line at tin pot dictators, and does that include somebody like Angela Merkel?
Thanks for the call tonight, Bob. I definitely appreciate your call and thoughts. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We got a couple more hours on the way. Plenty of time for you if you want to join us here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash also features smart rewards, a price stabilization mechanism, and a way to encourage long-term holding. Long-term holders are key to the project's success. You can earn smart rewards on any address for which you hold the private keys, which holds at least 1,000 smart for 1 month and does not make any outgoing transactions during that time. Smart rewards are distributed every 47,500 blocks to all eligible addresses. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian
and Chris.
Whether you want to talk about corruption, which is what we were talking about in the first hour with these ridiculous stadium subsidies, just total giveaways subsidized by taxpayers. Taxpayers, of course, don't see a dime of any profits. It all goes to the private owners. That's what we spent the first hour on, but we got a lot more to talk about here tonight, including this guy who was the former CEO, Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks. He has been stirring it up with his basically exploratory committee or whatever. Like, he hasn't necessarily thrown in his hat for president.
He's done a few interviews.
He's talking about doing something about it, but that's talking about it has thrown people into a tizzy. So we'll get into that coming up here in a moment. We're going to your calls and thoughts first. And also, before any of that, I want to welcome our new listeners. In a couple new locations. They're very, very close by to one another, but they're in two different states. So we have KBFS AM 1450 in, I believe it's pronounced Belfouche. Belfouche. It's spelled Bellefouche, Belfouche, South Dakota. And also KYDT FM, which is in Pine Haven, Wyoming, and is our very first ever station in Wyoming. We've been on the air doing this show for 14, 16 years, something like that, since 2004 in syndication, since 2002 is when the show started, and we've never been in Wyoming until now.
Nice.
America's least populated state. We're finally there, broadcasting to, well, you know, mostly cow fields. But, you know, it's nice to be on 25,000 watts anywhere you are in the world, because that's a pretty awesome FM signal. So
yeah,
if you're in the area of Pine Haven, Wyoming, you can hear us on 103.1. So welcome aboard. They're actually replacing a great old show that I used to be a fan of called Freedom Fiends that was the only other, for a time, the only other libertarian, truly libertarian talk radio show in syndication. And Michael Dean, who has unfortunately been suffering from health issues in recent years, threw in the towel and called it quits on doing Freedom Fiends as a radio show. So he may still do some podcasts from time to time, but they're not on a regular schedule, and I don't think he's done one since he called it quits on the radio show. So it's sad to see Freedom Fiends go.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
It's good that we were there to pick up the slack, and the folks there in the Pine Haven region of Wyoming and Belfouche, South Dakota, which apparently is nearby to Sturgis. So that's the name that I think a lot of people are going to recognize.
Sweet.
Bike Week.
Bike Week.
Right? So now you will be able, if you're at Bike Week, you'll be able to hear Free Talk Live on Saturday night. So welcome aboard to our new listeners out there. And if you are listening on any radio station, whether it's live or not, you're welcome to participate in our show. It's open phones every single night, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Those are our live hours. So if you're not hearing us during our live hours, you can still call in, which is what Sarah does all the time.
She does.
Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, I know your timing that's on New Hampshire, so I'm on the schedule, you know. So, yes, I just want to say that, you know what, we're in session right now, our representative, and we have a bill. The Democrats took over.
Isn't that interesting? Sarah talks about her representatives like people talk about their sports teams. We have a bill. Even though she isn't actually a state representative, she's part of the we, apparently.
Well, that's okay. So, what
did you write the bill?
What is your bill?
Well, the reason I said we is because I am a Democrat, and then our Democrats are
your team.
It is like a team.
Well, the whole
Do you paint your face colors for the Democrats?
Well, the thing is, now we want to pass the gun control. What I'm saying is that when we have that blue tidal wave, we took over the representative. We have a Democrat governor. We have Democrat Senate.
Did you get the trifecta? Did you get all three or just two out of three?
We took over the House. And we took over. We have a Democrat governor. We have Democratic mayor. We have, I think, our Senate. So now we could roll this really fast to, you know, make it harder.
You can. When any political party holds all three, and usually it's the House, the Senate, and the governor in most states, that's the three that they go for. And, of course, they want to pick up everything else they possibly can. You have that opportunity. Sadly, I won't say sadly because I happen to be a big fan of gridlock. Even when one party controls all three, they rarely do as much as they've sold to their voters.
Okay, but what are you expecting them to do? You said some sort of gun control?
Right. The thing is, they want to make it harder for crazy, unqualified people to get a hold of guns. So it's harder. It will be harder for you to obtain a gun.
Who decides this?
Who decides who's crazy?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, that's about the pretty blue line. You know, Democrat, we're all about gun control.
So the Democrats decide who's crazy.
Yeah. See, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, yet I have a 9mm on my hip right now. So should I have that?
The details of what it entails, I do not know the fine details of what how much and who is restricted.
Are you okay with them just saying we're going to have fewer guns? Is that what you're shooting for? They'll just be, if they come out and they say, we have a plan and it will make there be less guns than there are today. And we'll make sure that people ever get guns.
Well, the thing is, we want to have guns, only people that could deal with it, that are sane, mentally stable, or like, for example, domestic violence, if you have an issue, if you have a restraining order, all of those people would have a gun restriction.
What if they have a history of a voting Republican? Does that disqualify them from owning a gun?
I don't know. You have to either have a mental issue or
Woman can accuse you of domestic violence, right. And then poof, there goes all your guns.
That's called a red flag law, and those things are sweeping the state, sweeping the country right now.
They're proposing one in New Hampshire, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all over the place. Basically, it says that, you know, if someone is accused of an act of domestic violence...
Accused,
not prosecuted, not found
convicted,
guilty, nothing like that. Then
doesn't matter if the person used a gun in the alleged act of domestic violence.
Right.
Just if, you know, somebody shoves another person or whatever, that's domestic violence.
Right. And then the cops have to come and seize your weapons. We've already had police officers killed for trying to enforce these laws.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Now, her perspective is not unusual. There are a lot of people who would say, well, Chris, we're talking about crazy people.
Yeah,
I mean, you're quibbling around the edges of this issue. Okay, yeah, there might be a few people who get caught up in some false charges, but isn't it worth it to break a few eggs so we can keep guns out of the hands of crazy people?
Well, it's that dang slippery slope everybody's always talking about, and the slippery slope here is... No mental health professional wants to risk losing their license, losing everything, losing their livelihood, having their license taken away because one of their patients did something with a gun and they knew they had a gun. So, again, you could just have depression and that's it. That's all you were seeing your psychiatrist for. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, a year or two later, you know, you shoot somebody. And they're going to go back and they're going to say, okay, who was, oh my God, Dr. Smith, that was this guy's psychiatrist. Let me see all your records. Why did you not report him? We need to take away your livelihood because you did not. Now, what incentive does that give to any mental health professional? It incentivizes them to report absolutely everyone, no matter how minor or no matter how safe they believe that person to be. So everyone will be reported. And secondly, this is the real bad part. I deal with, I know a lot of veterans, particularly out of these last couple wars, and the problem is getting these guys to seek help. And if you tell people that if you seek help and if you tell them that you have a gun, you're likely to lose your Second Amendment rights.
You know, if you're actually honest with your therapist or whatever, or honest with your psychiatrist.
But that's the point of going to therapy. You want to
open up.
Open up and get it off your chest.
Yeah, I think it's very disturbing, whether it be guns or drugs or whatever it is, when these professionals are forced to, by the threat of the law, to reveal private things that their customers and clients have revealed to them. I think there's a huge problem with that. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free and join us here. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. We got this Howard Schultz guy, who's the former CEO of Starbucks. He used to make headlines for taking political positions and viewpoints as the CEO. Now, he's exploring the idea of running for president. And a lot of the people who used to support him as CEO of Starbucks, being, you know, a political guy as a CEO, now all of a sudden he's turned into their enemy. And it's been a very interesting last couple weeks for this guy. We'll share some of what's been going on with that. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, as we're here on the live Saturday edition. Ian and Chris in the studio, 855-450-3733. I should also mention, we do have our Discord on-air call-in line room. So jump into the Discord server at discord.lrn.fm, and you can join us in there, and then you'll sound almost like you're sitting in the studio with us here. And by the way, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Smart Cash. It is a peer-to-peer digital currency. There's a lot of peer-to-peer digital currencies out there in the world. I think CoinMarketCap currently ranks about 2,000 of them. If you go to coinmarketcap.com, you can see the list there. And Smart Cash is one of the newer cryptos in the world. Like many others, it's fast, it's secure, it's easy to use. But what is it that makes it different? Well, number one, they seem to be pretty libertarian. They've been sponsoring a lot of libertarian talk shows, and not just Free Talk Live, but a lot of other liberty-friendly platforms. So I like that. But also, I like the fact that they just allow anybody who has Smart Cash to vote.
Right.
Some of these cryptocurrencies with voting systems and budgets that they can spend to promote themselves, that the voter, you know, the voting systems work for, is only open to the wealthiest of the wealthy. And you have to have X number of the thing in order to participate. Well, here, as long as you got one smart, you've got a vote. And right now, one smart is going to run you about a cent. As of when I checked earlier today. So the price is down big time. It's a great time to consider maybe getting into it. But either way, you can vote with Smart Cash right from within their official Smart Cash wallet or through their website, smartcash.cc. It's very, very easy to do. I've done it. smartcash.cc. And also there's Smart Rewards, where if you hold on to Smart, at least 1,000 of them, and again, that's like 10 bucks worth, if you hold on to it in your Smart wallet and you don't have outgoing transactions over a month's time, no outgoing transactions, you have to control the private keys to the wallet, you will get Smart Rewards every single month as long as you don't spend from the wallet. So you can keep adding to it, but you can't spend from it. Otherwise, you don't get the Smart Rewards for that month. Anyway, smartcash.cc. Go there. Learn more about it as we go to continue. Now, we'll take your calls and thoughts about anything you want to discuss. This Howard Schultz has been stirring it up. Reason.com's got a piece, Nick Gillespie writing at their Hit and Run blog. Headline, Who's Afraid of Howard Schultz? Just about everyone. And they're right to be. Last night I went to the Barnes & Noble bookstore in New York City's Union Square to hear Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, talk about his new book, From the Ground Up, and his possible presidential bid. It's an understatement to say that Democratic Party activists, liberals, and progressives have responded negatively to Schultz's talk of running for president. He says he'll make a final decision after roaming the country in an obligatory book tour and listening campaign. And that's a shame for at least two reasons. First, Schultz is foregrounding serious issues, especially the gigantic and endlessly metastasizing national debt, but also ever-proliferating calls for new and massive entitlements, Medicare for all, free college for all, guaranteed jobs for all, etc. Second, Schultz's style of talking and engagement is a welcome respite from the amped-up, over-the-top rhetoric in which both Donald Trump and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez traffic. I don't think Schultz has any real shot at becoming the next president, and I don't agree with him on many things, but for God's sake, he's staging exactly the sort of conversation we desperately need to have as a nation.
Yeah, and so I was looking for show prep, but somehow I came across this clip of The View with Howard Schultz on. So The View, pretty liberal. You got some pretty liberal ladies on there. And
didn't they used to have a conservative lady on with them?
I think they did. Okay. They may still. I don't know. I don't watch the show. Me neither. But as soon as he opened his mouth and said like two words. I can't remember who interrupted him. And they're like, then why not just run as a Democrat? And he's like, I'd be disingenuous. Mm. But what I found really refreshing about him is within just a minute or so, he started talking about, you know, there's insane stuff coming out of Donald Trump's mouth every day. We all know that. But there's just as insane stuff coming out of Harris's mouth, out of Cortez's mouth. What do you... You want to do Medicare for all? He's like, you're talking $50, $60 trillion.
So wait, he's actually against government-run health care?
What he's against, and his big point here, is I'm against actually looking at our debt and going, we can afford to spend a penny more. Mm. We got to look at ways to save money.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean massively expanding.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like a Democrat at all in that case.
No. Which has really got their heads spinning around. They don't know what to do other than to say the only thing the Democrats can do is attack him. Why aren't you just running as a Democrat? That's all they could say. But I don't get it. Why aren't you running as a Democrat, Howard?
Bleep, bloop, bloop. Does not compute.
They just had nothing to say.
And, I love it when people's paradigms get busted. I mean, it's just this right. guy for years. I mean, that's why I'm surprised to hear you say that he's actually not in favor of a government-run, one-size-fits-all, single-payer, so-called universal health care system. Because whenever you see this dude comment as the CEO of Starbucks, he almost always is taking whatever the liberal side on an issue happens to be. And then here he is throwing it right back in these people's face.
He's happy to talk about stuff like that. But when you look at the actual programs that he implemented at Starbucks, like college for everybody who works at he'll pay tuition, tuition for everybody, no matter what their job was at Starbucks. Mm. He said the difference is Starbucks paid for that.
Right.
You know, and that's how sort of sees it. He said, sometimes, you know, we're going to have to, if you want these sorts of changes, you're going to have to rely on the corporations need to think about this. And if these things become part of being competitive, then they'll do it. But you're not going to force him to do it. He sounded to me very much sort of a Kennedy sort of Democrat, sort of that, you know, that early 60s.
He sounds kind of sane, like, you know, looking at the dollars and cents and saying, yeah, you can't afford this.
Right. And he's sitting there going, yeah, we can't. Why would we build a wall? That's a ridiculous idea. But in the same sense, why should we pay for everybody's college? That's just as insane.
Right.
So he was attacking a lot of the things on the right.
Good.
And it's just been really interesting. And some big names, I mean, they're stepping up against him. But this is a good article. Please continue.
Yeah. So this is, again, Nick Gillespie over at the Hit and Run blog and his opinions of seeing him. Within the first couple minutes, Schultz, a billionaire who grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, was heckled by a protester shouting, "Don't help elect Trump! You egotistical billionaire a-hole, go back to getting ratioed? Getting ratioed on Twitter?
I have no idea what that means.
Go back to Davos with the other billionaire elite who think they know how to run the world." We'll tell you more about his little encounter with the heckler at the bookstore in moments. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Plus, apparently Starbucks is handing out instructions to their baristas on how to handle upset customers.
Nice. I love it.
There's more on the way here. 855 450 free. They're having a breakdown right there in the store. And we're coming up. It's Free Talk Live. The biggest names in the Liberty Movement will be at the largest gathering of freethinkers, voluntarists, libertarians, and ANCAPs in Acapulco, Mexico, from February 14th through the 19th, 2019, at Anarchapulco. You'll love the lineup of speakers discussing entrepreneurship, politics, philosophy, health, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. And of course, Free Talk Live will be there again. Go to anarchapulco.com and use code FTL to register and receive 15% off. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want here. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about this Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks. He is not holding back, apparently, on his opinions about various issues that a lot of people probably figured they knew what he thought.
He's a Democrat.
Right.
He got the memo.
Given that he has taken, some seemingly liberal positions as CEO of Starbucks. Remember the whole open carry issue that happened there? There have been a couple of different things where he's kind of opened up and he got a lot of brownie points from some folks on the left. Well, they've thrown all that down. I mean, they don't want to give this guy any more points. They're sick of him already, and he hasn't even entered the race. He's just coming right in and telling people what he thinks. He's not in favor of universal health care, which is amazing. And so there's some actually kind of refreshing sounding positions that you've been sharing here, Chris. And we've got the piece from Reason.com as well. But apparently Starbucks baristas have actually been given instructions on how to handle upset customers about this. We'll tell you more about that on the way here as well. And I do want you to know about AnyPay.global. This is how you accept cryptocurrency at your point of sale. Beat Starbucks to the punch and start accepting crypto right now. At your register. If you've got a retail establishment and you've been wanting to take Bitcoin or Zen or Dash or some of the other cryptocurrencies, you can do it through AnyPay.global, and it's so easy to do. It's AnyPay.global. Just get signed up. All you got to do to sign up, by the way, is just create a username and password. There's nobody that's approving an application. There's no waiting. You just username, password, you're in. You put your crypto wallet addresses. But that's your destination where you want the crypto to go from the customer to you.
Yep.
Put that in the back end, then load the app on your point of sale device. That's it. You're accepting crypto.
We have this little test of how technology is, and it's basically if my girlfriend can successfully use it. She is technically challenged in some areas, and she can take any pay payments left and right. I don't even get asked anymore. It's
very
great.
Nice. Very nice. So check it out, AnyPay.global. And yes, it is free to use AnyPay as a merchant. So you're not paying some crazy credit card company fees anymore with AnyPay. AnyPay.global. As we continue here, Starbucks baristas, according to the New York Post, have received instructions on how to handle, quote, aggressive customers who might be upset about Howard Schultz's presidential ambitions. Employees were provided a barista need-to-know update last week that encouraged them to defuse politically charged exchanges about the former CEO's run for president, according to the Huffington Post. Quote, if a customer attempts to investigate or share aggressive political opinions, attempt to defuse the situation. Read copy of the memo obtained by the website. It continues to suggest a solution. Quote, we respect everyone's opinion. Our goal is simply to create a warm and welcoming place where we can all gather as a community over great coffee. The missive also tells employees to direct customers to a bookstore if they want a copy of Schultz's new book, From a Ground Up, A Journey to Reimagine the Promise of America. And finally, when asked about the coffee mogul's possible quest to mount an independent run for president, baristas can simply reply, quote, Howard's future plans are up to him, unquote.
Yeah, this is insane. This is how far, and right, those of you to the right, don't think I'm letting you off the hook. This is how insane the Democrats have gone.
Mm-hmm.
They are terrified of a guy who's been a lifelong Democrat, who has frequently, has supported traditionally liberal causes. And he's employed them within his own company. He didn't just talk the talk. He said, companies should be doing more to pay for people's education So we here at our at Starbucks, we're going to do that. And I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to do that. And if it blows up.
That's what a leader does, by the way.
If it blows up into my face, I'm going to my board's going to vote me off the island just like that. I mean, that's going to be how it goes. But he was really refreshing to talk to. It's coming from somebody who can't remember ever voting for a Democrat for president.
Right.
I never have.
And he may not be running as a Democrat, and that's what's got them so amped up, is that they want him to just throw his hat into the Democrat primary, where he'll probably, you know, lose, to some more political person who's going to tell them everything they want to hear.
All I heard on The View was, then why don't you just run as a Democrat? Then why don't you just run as a Democrat? Yeah. That was it over and over. They couldn't wrap their mind. They could not grok the idea that this guy just did not feel in tune with today's Democratic Party. And there are a lot of Democrats, I suspect, that in response to Trump, they're feeling the exact same way.
The toll-free number, if you want to join us here, it's 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Also, the Discord on-air call-in line room is, or rooms, are open and available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. Here's some more from the Reason.com piece. Their Nick Gillespie, one of their editors, went to see Schultz give a presentation, one of the book signings that he's doing on his so-called listening tour. And a heckler started shouting, said, "Don't help elect Trump, you egotistical billionaire a-hole. Go back to getting ratioed on Twitter. Go back to Davos with the other billionaire elite who think they know how to run the world." Now, the heckler speaks in only slightly more graphic terms than many folks on the Democratic to left side of the political spectrum. For instance, New York Times columnist and former Nation scribe Michelle Goldberg pleaded, "Howard Schultz, please don't run for president. A bid by an ex-chief of Starbucks would be reckless idiocy." She calls his potential bid a, quote, "narcissistic spoiler campaign," unquote. The fear, which is widespread on the broadly defined left, is that Schultz will somehow take votes away from any Democratic challenger and thus hand Donald Trump a second term. This fear is wrong on multiple levels, not least least of which is that it's wrong about electoral history. But here's former Obama speechwriter Jon Favreau wheezing out similar anxieties on Twitter while also slagging Schultz for being rich. Quote from his Jon Favreau on Twitter. Mm-hmm. "None of the explanations coming from Howard Schultz or his advisors answer a very simple question. If he thinks he has a winning message, why can't he run in the Democratic primary? Why does he get to skip that contest? Just because he's a billionaire? Would love an answer."
See, yeah, and this was the other talking point. It's like they all got the same set of talking points. Why aren't you running as a Democrat, number one? Why do you feel if you are entitled to skip it? Because it's going to be ridiculously expensive and only a billionaire could ever afford to run his own campaign as an independent. And his whole thing, and he was consistent, he's like, I don't like where the country's going. That means Republicans and Democrats, and it would be disingenuous to me
join either side.
To join either side. Yeah.
You know, there's another piece here, and we'll interrupt the Reason spot for Real Clear Politics, where he addresses these accusations of, "You billionaire!" Former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, and summarize that he's considering running, he responded to critics of his personal fortune and being a billionaire. Quote, "I've also been criticized for being a billionaire," said Schultz. He said further, "Let's talk about that. I'm self-made. I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, New York. I thought that was the American dream, the aspiration of America. You're going to criticize me for being successful when in my company over the last 30 years, the only company in America that gave comprehensive health insurance, equity in the form of stock options, and free college tuition, and Elizabeth Warren and a bunch of others want to criticize me for being successful?" I mean, the dude is making a solid argument here. Not only is he a billionaire, but he's unassailable as far as look at all the people he helped.
Right.
Because this is something that we've pointed out many times here on Free Talk Live, is unless, with the exception of those new money kids who inherited it from, daddy, like Sam Walton giving it to his kids or whatever.
And there aren't that many of those.
Self-made billionaires like this guy, you make money by giving people what they want.
Yes.
You make money, unless you're connected with politics and you can use the government to force it into your pockets from taxpayers like the stadium people that we talked about earlier.
Sure.
But in the case of, Starbucks, he made money by not only providing a good product to people in the way they wanted to receive it in a, warm environment and all that.
Right.
But also by taking care of his employees.
Yes.
And that's what these Democrats purportedly are fight for 15, healthcare. You know, yeah. They want all these things. And he figured out a way to do it without having to demand any taxpayers' assistance,
right.
Without having to go to the politicians. He just did it all by running a business that was successful and rewarding his employees. And now they're attacking him over it. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free to bring up whatever you want here. We're talking about the Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks, stirring it up on the, can't really even say the campaign trail, because he hasn't even announced officially that he's running for president yet.
Right.
But he's exploring the idea, and he's also going on a book tour and certainly getting a lot of attention. So,
and importantly, he's not going, he's not talking like he's running as a Democrat, mm-hmm. and he's not running as a Republican, which we have not had a serious third-party candidate or an independent.
Not since Ross Perot, right?
Right.
Well, you could say Nader maybe was, he at least got a fair amount of votes back in 2000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the Libertarians always, they're serious. The Libertarians are, you know, they
we're seriously going to run somebody.
They don't really get much attention for it.
No, they don't.
But in this case, he's getting a lot of attention, and almost all of it is negative from the people in the left, the left-leaning media. We're going to continue with some of this analysis here. Schultz, this is according to RealClearPolitics.com, responding to his critics, says, quote, "I'm not a Democrat," he told the Morning Joe panel. He says, "I don't affiliate myself with the Democrat Party, who's so far left. They basically want the government to take over health care, which we can't afford." He says further, they want the government to give free college to everybody and the government to give everyone a job, which basically is $40 trillion on the balance sheet of $21 trillion. We can't afford it.
Right.
He said. And he's right. So Schultz also revealed that Elizabeth Warren sought a donation from him for a Senate campaign, and he declined because she's a, quote, socialist. So you've got this guy actually calling out the Democrats as being socialist.
Well, I have no doubt he's going to call out some Republicans for being socialist, too.
I hope he does.
I hope so, too.
I think this guy is refreshing. And I hope this isn't just all to sell books. I really hope that he throws in. I want to see this guy debate Donald Trump.
I'd love it.
Two billionaires or whatever debating each other.
Right. Or AOC or whoever the Democrats stand up.
But, of course, you know, if he's an independent, they're going to do everything they can to shut him out of the debates, because that's what happens to people who aren't in the Republican or Democratic parties. After Ross Perot, the Republicans and Democrats got together and they said, you know what, we need to stop this from happening again. Can't How about we form the Commission for Presidential Debates, and we're going to take it away from, I think it was the League of Women Voters.
Traditionally, yeah.
We're just going to take the torch of the debates away from them. We're going to run our own debates. We'll make it so only our debates are the ones that really count. And we're only going to agree to do our debates. We're not going to do anybody else's debates. We'll let the media come in and cover our debates. We'll decide what the temperature in the room's going to be. We'll decide all the details about everything, including all the rules that will exclude all the competition. We'll just make sure we'll set the bar so high that no upstart, no billionaire could buy enough advertising to make it possible that they could make that projection, whatever it is that the rules are. And that's how it's been since 1992.
Yeah.
That's how it's been.
But yeah, you had Ross Perot, and a lot of his publicity didn't come from just debates and things like that. He was funding his own. And, you
sure.
know.
Maybe, and that's going to help.
Maybe Schultz can do that, too. And I just don't. I'm interested in the viewpoints of two different groups. I mean, first of all, I want to hear what Republicans think of Howard Schultz. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be tough to get an answer out of them, because a lot of them feel obligated to say good things about Trump, you know. But if Schultz came along, would you even consider him? Because I remember a time, because I'm ancient and older than everyone else on this show, when people did cross party lines, when they voted split tickets, they did all kinds of things that are just insane in today's polarized world. I just would love to hear their answer to that.
If you want to get on the phones, please do. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can join us on our Discord on-air call-in line rooms. We've got a little bit more to say about this guy, Howard Schultz. Stirring it up out there. But let's go to Emerson on the line on that one of those Discord lines. Go ahead, Emerson, calling from Michigan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sure. I got to say, you know, we also have John McAfee. He's possibly running in 2020 as well.
Yeah. He's
definitely running right now.
He's running from a boat. Running on a boat and from a boat.
Right.
I find him interesting. He's really interested in the privacy issues that we have inside of this country.
Yeah, he's going to be shooting for the Libertarian nomination in 2020, so he's got a ways to go before that they make their decision. They're not going to decide that until the summertime of 2020, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wrote Gary Johnson a really long letter. I spent 2 days writing it in last election cycle, being like, dude, hire me as your campaign. I could get you elected, because I didn't think their advertisements were good at all. I didn't think it portrayed the party very well.
No. Gary Johnson, very nice man. We've had him actually. He's one of the few politicians we've ever even had on the show. He's actually sat in this studio before. He came to New Hampshire.
I didn't know that.
He actually sat in. Very, very nice man. Not a libertarian. So not at all the person the Libertarians should have selected to represent their party and viewpoint. It was sad, but, you know, thankfully he's done. So he's not coming back in 2020. Anyway, what else were you calling about tonight?
All right. Well, I could put the whole illegal immigration voting to bed, like straight up in the words in the Constitution. It's defined how illegal immigrants are not given the right to vote in this country. Nor are people that come into the country who are born, they are not under law protected by the laws of the United States. As Amendment 14, Section 1, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. That word right there, jurisdiction thereof, meaning they're subject to the laws of our country. Amendment 15 is the right of the section one, the right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States.
All right, what are you saying here?
So are you quibbling about the terms citizen and
naturalized?
Naturalized, yes. I've heard these arguments.
I'm not clear on what the argument is. Can you rephrase it for me without reading all the legal mumbo jumbo?
Yeah. What's it mean to you?
To me, it just means illegal immigrants, they're not given the right to vote in our country. And this Democratic side that seems like they want to open borders, think a bunch of people coming in illegally and just letting them vote, that's straight up, that's completely illegal. Like, that's in the books. It's been ruled on by the Supreme Court as well, where they put it to bed and more clear present day.
Well, I don't think anybody should be able to vote, honestly. I think that we should just abolish the government entirely and forget about this whole voting government thing.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and I think people should be able to cross, you know, imaginary lines in the sand freely. As long as I want people to come to my property, I should be able to have whoever I want come there, shouldn't I?
If that's your wish, I guess, but...
So nobody else should be able...
I'd have to think about that one. That's a really good...
Because I believe in freedom, right? Like, I believe in the freedom to travel. And if, you know, person from another part of the world wants to come to another person's part of the world and they have permission from the person, you know, to, you know, whose property that is owned that wants them to come there, then why should anybody else have any say about that?
Well, one would argue that in a libertarian society, all property would be owned by someone. So they would have to get permission every step of the way.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sounds really unwieldy. I don't think it would be that hard.
Like, I'd open my door to my friend from a different country, but if he has to cross different private property to get there, then there is sort of – this is one of those things that gets tossed up.
Sure.
So how
the reality
they get
is
from,
in most of the marketplace, the market isn't concerned about who is crossing through their property. They just want to know that they're going to be respectful to it, that they're going to pay whatever fees they need to pay to get there or to do it, whether it's, you know, accessing a toll road or somebody else is paying for the roads. The road owners probably aren't going to care where those people are coming from. They just want them on the road so they can see the advertising, or they can raise their rates that they're charging the businesses that are on the road or whatever. So I don't think it's going to be what you're talking about, where you've got to stop everywhere and ask everybody if it's okay if you go somewhere.
I'm just throwing out common objections. Yeah. To that line of thought.
Yeah. Emerson?
The only issue I can see with that is that would be great if the world like ran by that and had good morals to associate where they went. But the problem with that, which I think government has a use, is the fact that not, you know, like everywhere has different beliefs, and mm-hmm. to protect the people inside, you know, you don't want a bunch of radicals coming over just because with totally different beliefs, you know, maybe they think like, oh, hey, you know.
Well, that's why we need to have people who have different beliefs sort of separate themselves voluntarily. All right. So the people who hate Howard Schultz should go and move to California.
Right.
The people who love Trump should go and move to Texas or something like that. The people that love liberty ought to move to New Hampshire.
Right.
And then everybody else can move to wherever it is. You know, the Mormons can go to Utah, the hippies into Vermont or wherever it is. Go to where people agree with you. And thank you, Emerson. Good call tonight. I appreciate it, man. So the toll-free number here, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. Go to where people agree with you. And then the people who come into that place, if you've made like a Democratic stronghold, the people that appreciate those ideas, they're going to come there. The people that want to be more free, they're going to come to New Hampshire. And so you won't have to really worry about invaders coming in, because why would they want to go to a place where they're not really welcome?
Right. Or
do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global, drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page, and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. That's AnyPay.global.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live, launching into the third hour of this live Saturday edition of the show. You can join us here toll-free, 855-450-FREE. It's 855-450-3733. We're talking about a presidential candidate stirring it up, probably as controversial as Donald Trump was when he was running for office in 2016, this Howard Schultz, a former CEO of Starbucks, who everybody thought was a far leftist, turns out he's actually pretty reasonable sounding. Like, he's actually calling out the Democrats for being socialists. He's using the S word on national television, which most people on the left don't want to use that word, right?
No. Well, as with the exception of Democratic socialist, then it's
okay. But still, most of them don't want to. They don't want to paint themselves with that word.
They don't. They want to paint themselves as, you know, the party of Kennedy, as if they bear any resemblance to politics back then.
Yeah.
They don't.
So it's Ian and Chris in the studio with you here tonight. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us here, you can bring up anything that's on your mind. That's 855-450-3733. You don't have to talk about Schultz, but, you know, we're just summarizing what's been going on over the last couple of weeks as he's been on this this sort of tour with his book and trying to obviously get some people to buy his book. And I think he's going to succeed in doing that because he really seems different. He's somebody. One of the things you got to love about billionaires running for president is they just don't give an F.
Right.
They're not beholden to some mega campaign donor, to where they have to do what the campaign donor says in order to get the donation and so on and so forth, scratching people's backs and all that.
Right.
This guy's like, whatever, it's just $1 billion. Yeah, I'll spend $1 billion, no problem. Just for fun, just running for president, just because he can. And this is absolutely flummoxing some of these Democrats who just can't understand, why don't you just join the Democrats? Well, he says he's not a Democrat.
Well, they're terrified of 4 more years of Trump.
Sure.
They are. And they think that the way to attack Trump is to run the most populist candidates they have right now. And mm-hmm. right now it's, you know, AOC and Kamala Harris. Is that her name? I think so.
I don't know. I've heard the name.
Yeah. But what they're doing is they are propping up ideologues that are just as far to the left as Trump is. I don't even know how to describe Trump. I really don't. Ideologically, he's more Democrat than Republican.
Sure.
So where do you even put him? He's just on a scale of crazy.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's great radio for us. I mean, it's
entertaining.
It was like the first year of this of Trump being president. We never lacked for show prep.
No.
It was like, what did he do today?
Yeah, and it just keeps getting better, I mean, over time. So here's more from the Reason.com piece, where Reason's one of their chief editors, Nick Gillespie, went to a Howard Schultz event in New York City's Union Square to hear Schultz speak and talk about his new book, From the Ground Up. And it says here that the Democrats are freaking out. They give the quote or one of the tweets from Jon Favreau, who apparently was a Obama speechwriter, who's flipping out. Why can't he run in the Democratic primary? Why does he just get to skip that contest just because he's a billionaire? Well, actually, no, says, or excuse me, Favreau added on another tweet, he's afraid, he says, Schultz is afraid, that if he tells half the country's voters what he truly believes, they'll reject him. So he's buying his way right to the general. Well, actually, no, says Reason. Last night and in other interviews, Schultz is perfectly clear on why, if he runs, that he'll be doing so as a, quote, centrist independent. He openly disagrees with a lot of ideas that dominate Democratic Party discourse, and he doesn't want to be forced into accepting those policies. Specifically, he's criticized Senator Elizabeth Warren's asset tax on tippy-top earners and a whole host of tax-funded giveaways that he says we can't afford, like single-payer health care. He spoke about the cost of single-payer health care insurance plans, which will almost certainly be part of the DNC 2020 platform.
Another thing he talked about on The View, he's like, so you want to do away with all insurance companies? Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of people are employed by insurance companies and are dependent on them? So you're just going to wipe out all those jobs and replace them with what? Jobs you're going to
make
create
up some
from
jobs.
Government.
Yeah.
That was his point. It was crazy.
He noted that California's total state budget is currently around $150 billion. But for the cost of Governor Gavin Newsom's vision of single payer runs toward $400 billion, which would be more than twice what the current budget of the state of California is. Even as he talked forcefully about growing up poor with parents from the greatest generation who failed to participate in the post-war economic boom, he refused to say government should be all things to all people. In his various interviews of the past week or two, he's never missed an opportunity to talk about how a $21 trillion debt is the single biggest problem we need to reckon with. He's right to say it not only ties the hands of government, and the ligatures get tighter as interest rates rise, but also that it inhibits broad-based economic growth, the best way to increase living standards. He also refused to... Turns out, this guy knows about money.
Right.
You think? He figured out how to earn billions of it, so maybe he's worth listening to the subject. Going on here, he says he also refused to be penitent about being rich last night, at one point saying he helped create a great company and wasn't going to apologize for his or anyone else's success. He called the class warfare rhetoric used by so many Democrats, quote, so un-American. In other words, he doesn't fit very well in today's Democratic Party. So what did Elizabeth Warren take to Twitter to say? Quote, what's ridiculous is billionaires who think they can buy the presidency to keep the system rigged for themselves while opportunity slips away for everyone else. The top 0.1% who would pay my ultra-millionaire tax, which she hashtags that, own about the same wealth as 90% of America. It's time for change.
Right, and those billionaire taxes that she keeps talking about, they amount to absolutely squat. All this is playing politics. It's not going to fundamentally change our debt. It's not going to fundamentally change how much people have to shell out just as part of the regular taxation. It's one of those things that sure sounds nice when they say it, but it doesn't do a single thing. I am waiting for someone to do a faux pas and referred to Howard Schultz as Howard Rourke.
I got to disagree with you. A billionaire tax, a very high tax aimed at the wealthiest 0.1%, is absolutely going to do something. It's going to drive those people out of the United States.
Right.
If you're a billionaire,
they won't go to France.
Wherever it is they go, right, it's going to be somewhere more friendly to their wealth.
Right. And or their wealth will move, or they'll say, right, yep, we need to do our part. That's why this year I am donating, 90% of the $1 I earned in the United States. Unfortunately, our Swedish concerns processed all monies. That's not our company. We operate the Howard Schultz Foundation here, and that's it. Yeah.
Because that's what happens.
You chase the money around.
That's what happens with socialism, Right? Yep. Socialism works just as long as people are around to be extracted from. But they figure it out pretty fast that, well, if I go over into this political jurisdiction, I get to keep more of my money. I think I'm going to do that now.
Yeah, and the left is loving to trot out the stories of, 90% taxation in the United States after World War II, during the Eisenhower years and things like that, which Eisenhower was able to get down and Kennedy reduced even further. Mm. But the actual payment, we only had like four people that actually paid the highest point, which was 90, 91%. The average taxation was somewhere around 24% because what? Because the IRS had all these loopholes, all these ways that you could get out of paying those high levels of taxes. And that hasn't changed. If anything, we have more loopholes now than they did then. So this idea that you're going to tax the wealthy to the point of benefiting the poor man on the street, it's a lie. That's the only way to say it.
It's a lie that benefits the politicians because they love to turn people against one another on basis of things like wealth. They love it when people hate the rich because it benefits them.
Class warfare.
Even though they themselves are part of the 1% because they're politicians. They're not only part of the 1%, they're part of an upper echelon of the 1% because they're part of the 1% that have actual political power.
Oh, I got to share a link with you. It's basically a piece writing as the wealthiest men in the world.
Oh, really? A satire piece?
It is, but it's good. But
all right, we got more coming up here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. More about this Howard Schultz guy stirring it up in the world of politics without even having run for anything yet. It's amazing.
Love it.
I love how seriously they're taking him, and he's saying a lot of right things. It's Free Talk Live. Hey, it's Free Talk Live on this live Saturday edition of the show. You can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. You can go to discord.lrn.fm to join us there. The Discord server is there, by the way, 24 hours a day. It's not just for calling into the show. Its primary purpose is to allow you to interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, both during, before, and after the show. And it's free to do that. So please head on over to discord.lrn.fm and jump into our chat room there. Although there's actually a little bit of action happening in our Twitch chat room as well.
Right.
So we have two chat rooms going on simultaneously here on Free Talk Live. And something that we implemented recently on our Twitch platform, which is the way you can watch the show. So we're primarily a radio show. We're on 194 radio stations coast to coast at various different times throughout the week. That's primarily what we do. We're not the best video show in the world, but we do have a couple cameras in here.
Sure.
And we've been doing a video feed on Twitch now for over a year. By no means are we a big show on Twitch, but tonight our listeners are treating us like we're a big show on Twitch. We've had multiple donations coming in on the Twitch channel throughout the night here tonight, and it's been unprecedented. I mean, for the last 2 months, Chris, ever since I added the tip.lrn.fm thing to our overlay, as they call it. So if you watch over at twitch.lrn.fm, you watch you can see there's like a little bar at the top that shows a fundraising goal. And we got like one donation in December. We had one earlier, like a couple weeks ago, a small one earlier. And so like there's been a handful. Maybe I would say once every 2 weeks there's been somebody has donated $5 to $7 or something like that. And we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Tonight, all of a sudden, Baraka64, I think 6684 comes in, throws in $100 tip. We got Invader White Wolf, who threw in not only, I think, a $15 tip, but then followed it up with another $33.80. So, I mean, we've literally had nearly $200 come in tonight alone in the chat room and in Twitch over at twitch.lrn.fm. And what I've said is if money's come in while we're doing the show, I will distribute to the co-hosts their share, if you will, of the money that comes in. So you've been cut close to what, $80-something in tips here tonight?
It's basically just piling up around me. I feel like like I should be.
You're happy you came in tonight on
Yeah,
Free Talk
thank
Live.
You for cleaning that up for me.
Thanks for everybody for being so generous there in the chat room. We've met our arbitrary fundraising goal. In fact, blown through it. I said $100 thinking, well, this will take a while to reach, and it did. It took a while to get to $100. But then all of a sudden, it blew past it and then went up by 100% more. We're over $200 past, you know, we're $100 past our $100 fundraising goal, so I'm going to have to move the goalposts now. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and you don't have to tip. That's the whole thing. It's completely up to you. I can tell you, we certainly appreciate it. We don't do this. I don't think anybody who does this show does it for the promise of riches flowing into our coffers. I mean, we do this because we care about liberty, and we want to spread that message. That's the only reason I ever agreed to do this in the first place. Can I talk about liberty?
It's not about the money. You're right.
Can I try to change somebody's mind? Can I present them with some information that they've never been presented with before?
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes, we can, and yes, we do. But the fact is, it does cost money to, you know, spend on gas, for instance, to get out here. So, it's not to say that we don't appreciate it. We definitely do, and I just wanted to say thank you. And by the way, on Twitch, you actually get thank yous on the screen. So if you go to twitch.lrn.fm and you're watching the show live, whenever somebody contributes, whatever the amount is, there's going to be a message that pops up on the screen. In addition, we'll see it in the chat room as well, so we know when it happens. But everybody watching at home at twitch.lrn.fm gets to see your name go up there. And there's also a new feature called text-to-speech that I turned on, I think, within the last week or so. We didn't have it on before, but now anybody who gives, I think, more than $4 can type in a message. Now, nobody did that tonight from what I could see. But you can type in a message that our robot lady will read on the air on our Twitch stream. So, I mean,
that's sweet.
Please don't be too profane with it, you know, because there's certain things you probably shouldn't say on Twitch. But otherwise, that's why I set it at $4. That way somebody didn't, you know, just give 4 cents and say something profane. So you actually have to throw a little bit in to get the robot lady to speak what you want her to. But try that out when you get a chance and check it out over at twitch.lrn.fm. And give us a follow over there, too, if you're on the Twitch platform. We really appreciate it. Let's go to the phones here. We got Larry on the line in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Go ahead, Larry.
How you doing, man? Hey, you know, it makes my big toe shoot up on my boot when y'all start talking about poor people getting welfare. I go to city council all the time to listen to committee meetings and stuff where people like Dowell Lanco, Martin Marietta, all the large corporations are coming into those committees and getting, like Dowell Lanco created a company, right? And they got $30 million tax abatement over a 5-year period. And what they do is, as soon as they get that, they go to one of the banks here in town and draw all that money down. So they don't have any skin in the game. But I wish you would kind of change your tenor when you're talking about the amount of money that poor people are receiving from safety net programs. That's insignificant compared to all the graft and corruption that's going on a corporate level, and also
the state of
Indiana in 2020, they had amended our constitution where corporations in 2020 will not be paying any taxes whatsoever. They're paying 4% now. Plus, they had the last section of our Article 8 in our Constitution said that the General Assembly can assess a tax on the property of corporation for common school purposes. That means it's applied to the education part of our budget, that the operations and maintenance.
Okay.
And they took that out. That's what they took out. So now we're going to be suffering in 2020.
So, Larry, do you get the feeling that, you know, we are only against social welfare programs and quit giving money to people who don't work for it? Do you not hear us talk about...
Did he miss the whole first hour of the show? Because it was all about opposing corporate welfare for stadiums.
IU was playing tonight. I'm glad IU won. I praise God for that.
There you go.
Were they playing in a taxpayer-subsidized stadium?
That's the question.
I'm sure it was, but the thing about it is, I get the tenor of your program when I've listened over the years that you... persecute the poor. The poor are the ones that are paying the price.
No, Larry, you have not listened. You have not listened carefully over the years. We are against all forms of welfare on Free Talk Live, and we're against regulations and licensing, which are what prevents the poor from getting wealthy. It stops poor people dead in their tracks from opening up their own business, say inside their home, for instance, without having to ask anyone's permission. You got to beg government bureaucrats, pay fees, pay fines, pay licensing fees. You know, basically pay bribes in order to get into business legally, and that keeps poor people poor.
I don't want poor people to be poor.
I understand all that, but if you have a, you know what, Governor Mitch Daniels, state of Indiana, I went to some guy, I think it was end up being a photo op, but some guy was asking him how did he get in business and who he had to see. He said, if you have a business where you anything that you can make money on it, you go make money on it, all the money you can, and the hell with the regulations or anything, just keep on going until you get caught.
Well, I totally agree with, you know, ignore the regulations. Unfortunately, eventually, you know, once you become successful, they're going to target you. Thank you, Larry, for the call. There's more coming up. LRN.FM now has a Discord. Discord is a free text and voice chat platform, and we now have our own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows, or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm. It is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
We got time for you if you want to jump on the lines with us here. We've been talking about Howard Schultz, who is the former CEO of Starbucks, making major headlines, stirring up the political scene in the United States. Democrats are bewildered. They're angry.
They're incredulous.
They're threatened by this guy, even though he doesn't really sound like a Democrat at all. He's calling Democrats socialists. He's saying, this is crazy. You can't afford to give health care to everybody through the government. You can't afford to give health care or education to everybody through the government. It's already a bankrupt system to $21 trillion. He's saying that's going to be another $40 trillion on top, at least, onto the debt.
Right. And I applaud him as a Democrat. I believe he is a Democrat, whether he runs as a Democrat or not.
Maybe he's registered as one, but maybe not. I mean, it's he doesn't agree with the Democrats on a lot of stuff.
Well, the response to Trump has been, instead of, you know, being a centrist party, which I think this country could use, if you're going to have one country, or excuse me, going to have political parties, how about there be one that's sort of moderate, that's sort of open to new ideas and has a layer of common sense. But in battling Trumpism, which is, I don't even know how to describe it, they've gone full-blown communist socialist, and I don't think it's going to work for them.
Let their freak flag fly. Let them show what
more
they're
power.
Really all about.
More
and good for
them.
This guy for calling him out. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts here. Let's go to Emily listening online in Kentucky, in Louisville. Hello, Emily.
Hi.
Hey there.
I do not think Howard Schultz can be elected for two different reasons. One, I thought the way that he handled the problem of the two men that came into one of the Starbucks, I think it was in Philadelphia, and the manager asked them if they would like to, you know, buy something. They didn't want to buy anything. And I thought that was not handled very well, you know, shutting down the entire company and telling people about race as if nobody has a clue about race.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He didn't stand behind his manager. And so then they finally said, oh, no, anybody that wants to can come into our places and just, you know, get warmed up. Well, then they ended up having to shut down quite a few of them in Philadelphia, because the drug addicts were coming in, using the bathroom,
shoot up,
making a mess, homeless people. It was just someone who for someone who grew up in the projects, he doesn't seem to have recognized a lot of the other people from the projects.
Well, look, nobody's perfect, and maybe he's made some mistakes in running his business, but you can't deny he's been incredibly successful at it. I mean, having made billions of dollars. What does that have to do with him not being able to win the presidency?
Well, because to get anything done, you have to be able to have people who will fight on your behalf in both the House and the Senate. And the people in the House and the Senate are long-term people. They plan on coming back year after year after year.
That's
the president
not
will
a good
be
thing.
Around. Well, then, but
I
so
won't
it's
argue
the reality.
That it's a reality. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
it
reality.
Is reality.
It's reality. And the president is limited to only 8 years. So the people are not going to spread very far from their party in order to support something that he might come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the Senate Majority Leader, who is from my state, Mitch McConnell, and Nancy Pelosi, they decide who gets to do what in their perspective parts of the government.
Sure.
You know,
also
they make the committee assignments.
Yep.
And
that's a big deal. That's a really
and
big
Howard
deal.
And Howard Schultz is obviously a pretty smart guy, but I think part of his goal is to avoid what will be raucous political debates, just like they were when they had a million Republicans running last time, and this time it's going to be on the Democratic side. And
yeah.
I understand why the Democrats are so afraid, but I don't think he's going to get anybody from the Republican side.
Well,
who cares?
I think there's two different questions. I think a lot of the things that you brought up are on point in terms of how easy or how difficult it would be for Howard Schultz to govern. That would be a real challenge because he's not going to go on in, let's say he won. You're not going to have any friends on either side of the aisle.
Great.
That's fine.
Veto pen.
And I love gridlock,
right.
So this all works for me.
That's a success. If he can get in the presidency, then, you know, that's going to stop a lot of crap from happening.
On the question of electability, the jury's still out for me. I have no idea. We're so far out. We have no idea what's going to happen between now and then. But I do know this. You know, a few points in my life, I've seen third-party candidates or independents come amazingly close to really break it. I mean, Ross Perot ended up hitting, 19% vote?
After he dropped out of the race.
Yeah. And if there weren't sort of those crazy moments, there were a lot of them were ginned up by Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
If Howard Schultz can manage some of those, I think just your average person is looking for an average person, somebody who is common sense, makes some sense, and isn't just balls to the wall nuts.
If
like
he can connect
these people
with,
are.
If he can connect with enough people, in theory, he could win.
Right.
If enough people take him seriously and like what it is that he's saying, if they're able to hear it, if the media gives him attention, if
right.
he gets into the debates, which would be amazing. And it has been a while since we've had an independent billionaire candidate in the race, so that may change
right.
whether or not he can, you know, reach the ridiculously arbitrarily high level that the debates require.
Right, polling numbers and things like that.
And it's not an easy thing to do to run as an independent because then you've got to have all, you know, essentially you have to have crews in every state trying to qualify you for ballot access. That's why a lot of people like John McAfee will throw their hat into the ring with the Libertarians
right.
because the Libertarians already kind of have that down. They know how to get ballot access in all 50 states. It's not easy, but they've done it most years over the last several few decades. So I don't know, Emily, I'm just going to respectfully disagree with you here. I think that if he takes this seriously and spends enough money, he has a chance of winning. And I don't think the average voter is going to be concerned whether the Democrats or Republicans like him in Washington, D.C.
I think Republicans and Democrats are terrified of somebody just talking. Well, I've not heard a lot of just crazy Republican and Democrat type rhetoric come out of Howard Schultz's mouth. What I have heard is you can't afford that. We have a $21 trillion debt. I've been waiting for anybody to say that for a long time, and I have no idea who I would support, if anyone.
Emily, any other thoughts? Go ahead.
The thing that nobody is talking about is the end of the estate tax. And, you know, when they talk about, you know, we're going to tax the tippy people at the tippy top,
right,
90%, that's not going to happen. But at the same time, the ending the estate tax is going to cause the country, I think it's unbelievable. And, well, I understand how it happened, because there was Republican House, Republican Senate, and Republican billionaire, and they decided to get rid of the estate tax. And the Republicans have been working on it for a very, very, very long time.
Is that a bad thing, to have your money taxed when you die?
Well, it makes things a little bit more, well, you can't take it with you. But
yeah, but if you get it taxed, then that means that you can't give it all to the people that you love.
Right.
Well, there's usually, no, I'm not talking about taking all of it away. But
yeah, it's a tax. Usually they don't take 100% in a tax. You're talking about stealing money from dead people and taking it out of the hands of their family.
Well, if you want to consider taxes stealing, then okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, okay, it's more than stealing, it's extortion. Thank you for the call tonight, Emily. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. And if you don't think taxes are stealing, you aren't being honest with yourself. Now, I understand why you wouldn't want to be honest with yourself, because no good person, no one who considers themselves a good person, would want to be aligned with people who are committing theft.
Right.
Or people who are committing extortion would have wanted to have advocated for that. More coming up here in moments. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. We have enough time for you tonight if you want to get on the line with us. And we also do this thing 7 nights a week. So if you don't get in tonight, you want to call tomorrow about something, we're going to be here. And we will be here every night thereafter. In fact, next week's going to be a little bit of an interesting week. Chris, you're going to be coming in for a special Wednesday night episode.
I will.
And then you won't be here on Thursday, as you normally are, unless things go dramatically wrong in Mexico and we can't broadcast from there for some reason, because, you know, I won't know for sure until I bring my equipment down there and plug it all in.
Hope for the best.
But yeah, presuming that everything works out, Mark and I will be broadcasting live for about a week in Mexico. And then we're going to Anarchapulco after that, so we'll be down there. He's actually there now and sent me a video of the house that they're renting. He and his wife are renting, and they've got their kid with them, renting a house not quite on the water, but like you can see it from the balcony, so it's not far from
nice.
The ocean. And it's like $1,200 for an entire month. 2 stories, 6 bedrooms, multiple bathrooms. It's crazy. He took me on, like, you know, one of those, you know, took his camera
tour.
And did a little video tour of the place. Like, there's a pool, there's a veranda, there's, you know, all kinds of room. It's crazy. Word is Lynn Ulbricht is going to be staying with us, which will be pretty cool.
That's very cool.
The mother of Ross She's Ulbricht.
Such a sweet lady.
The heroic person who ran the Silk Road, who, by the way, if you want to help get Ross Ulbricht pardoned, there is a petition. You can sign it over at freeross.org. So I'll tell you more about, you know, what's going on in Mexico when I get down there, which should be middle point of next week. And you can learn more about Anarchapulco over at anarchapulco.com. Use code FTL to get yourself a discount on the tickets. And I do want to also say thanks to D. Harvey, who's a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. That means D. Harvey is giving $5 a month to Free Talk Live via the AMP program. Now, we've had people just throwing money at us in the Twitch chat here tonight, and thank you for that to those of
thank
you who've
you.
Done that. But the typical way that people do ongoing contributions to Free Talk Live, in fact, one of the guys who's throwing money in tonight, TJ White Wolf or Invader White Wolf, he's also a Free Talk Live amplifier. So he just signed up for the AMP program this week.
Sweet.
I think at $10 a month. So that's a way to fund our advertise, market, and promote program, which allows us to reach out to new radio stations, bring new internet listeners on board. In fact, we're trying something new, Chris. We're bringing back, well, we're trying a new old idea. We're bringing back the Liberty Clips.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
This is, so we've convinced Eric Free Rock to come out of retirement. He was the guy who did Liberty Clips originally. He was doing it all on his own volition. We didn't ask him to. He was just doing it before on his own, and now we're incentivizing him with a little bit of the AMP money to come up with video clips of Free Talk Live. Because, look, we do a three-hour show every single day here, and the last thing I want to do after I'm done with the show is go back over the video of the show and clip out, you know, the best of or whatever, clip out little clips from the inner, you know, whoever it is we're talking to or whatever.
Right.
I just don't feel like it. You know, I got
it's enough, a lot of work.
Yeah, I got enough stuff to do. I could do it. I've got the video capabilities to do that.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have somebody else who's a pro, you know, do that stuff. And so that's what he's doing. He's already uploaded a few of them.
Nice.
And we've made a special URL that you can go to. It's clips.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to his channel. We don't even run the channel, so we're driving traffic to his channel. Subscribe to that. And you'll get the new clips as they come out, which, you know, will focus on different things that we've talked about. They're short, right? Most of them, a few minutes long, several minutes long, perhaps. And that makes it easy to share clips of the show. The idea is, this is how it's advertised, marketing, and promoting. The idea is you can use these clips to share them on your social media with your friends and your family so they can hear some of the things we've been talking about, rather than having to just drop a three-hour long, you know, archive on your – nobody wants to share that.
Right.
Nobody wants to share a three-hour long show. So that's the intent there, is to bring back the video clips. Go to clips.freetalklive.com. And thanks to Dee Harvey and the other Free Talk Live amplifiers for making this possible for us. We can do more with more funding of the AMP program. Unfortunately, the AMP program has, over the last several years, kind of plateaued and slowly been losing money over time, because just over time, we'll have more people kind of stop amping rather than join. And so it's down below $2,000 a month right now. So if you please help us out, if you like what we're doing, please go to amp.freetalklive.com and amp the show. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. And yes, you do get some cool perks like access to the AMP, the supporters rooms on our Discord chat server. You get a special Free Talk Live badge on our forum. There's the AMP only Facebook group. Mm-hmm. There's the AMP only podcast and more. You can learn all about it. You can use PayPal, credit card, or Bitcoin BTC over at ampamp.freetalklive.com. To Jeremy in Indianapolis, listening to WIBC-FM. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, you're on the air.
Good.
I just wanted to call in and talk about Schultz just for a quick minute.
Sure.
We were sitting there wondering, you know, what his party affiliations were. You know, I know for a fact that he said he was going to run as an independent, you know, self-funding for the most part, which, you know, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that he is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And most of his views are Democratic. I mean, if you look at him and even Trump, too, you take it back to the early 90s, late 80s.
Sure.
They're both business Democrats. They are not at all Republican or independent. And it's amazing to me, you know, just how much people don't realize that.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Just because you're registered as a Democrat doesn't mean that you're walking in lockstep with the Democratic Party. I mean,
absolutely.
I was registered as a Democrat for a couple few years here in New Hampshire, and the reason I was because I wanted to troll the Democratic primary for governor.
Right.
I mean, I wanted to get the message of liberty out into the Democratic primaries, so that's why I was registered as a Democrat. This guy is not holding to any kind of Democrat platform. I mean, he's gone straight up and called them socialists.
Oh, I'm sure if we dig around, we're going to find some things that are
fairly right, I would say, for the most part. The goalpost on the Democratic side is most assuredly moved to the left.
Chris, I'm sure that we can find some things he agrees with them on.
Yeah.
But he's disagreeing with them on their major campaign points.
On the key issues,
yes. And another thing that I find very interesting about Schultz coming into the race and the uproar from the Democratic side is it's blatantly apparent that they don't have a front-runner candidate if they're concerned that this guy is going to steal votes from, you know, some of their other candidates.
I'd agree with that, too.
They don't have a clear front-runner.
Well, no, it's too early. Of course, there's no front runner. I mean, not everybody's even thrown in.
There's an awful lot of people declaring on that side over there, and I think that the rat race and the mudslinging is going to get very interesting over the next couple of months and years.
I'm trying to imagine.
Just wanted to call in and throw that 2 cents in for you guys.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you for the call tonight,
appreciate
man. I appreciate
it.
Hearing from you. And I think he's right. It's going to get muddy.
Yeah, but who is the front? Who is the biggest name recognition on the Democratic side? So you got Bernie Sanders. You've got Hillary Clinton.
Has she thrown in?
She will.
Okay.
Everybody says she will. And her own people are saying she's going to. So you've got basically the same S show as you had last time being offered up. And then you've got a whole bunch of new names that are all far, far, far left. Oh, Elizabeth Warren.
Do you think Hillary will even have a chance in the primary, given how dirty she played it last time and how everybody found out about it?
I didn't think she had a chance last time. Mm-hmm. It would not have surprised me if Hillary would have won or if Trump would have won, and either of them would have had the other to thank for their win, if that makes sense. So I don't know. Right now, the only thing the Democrats seem to be come up with is, you know, hold on, I found somebody loonier than the last guy we ran.
Reason.com on the article about Howard Schultz says it's an odd thing, really, to see Democrats and progressives mad as hell that Schultz won't run as a Democrat, but then never missing an opportunity to put him down as latter-day robber baron who's so out of touch with the little people that he should go back to sipping lattes on his mega yacht. Over at the Center for American Progress, a liberal political group, Neera Tanden calls Schultz's possible run as an independent disgusting and calls for a boycott of Starbucks if he goes through with it, even though he's no longer the CEO. Schultz sniffs the Times. Oh, Goldberg, quote, appears to share the conviction endemic among American elites that the country hungers for a candidate who is socially liberal but fiscally conservative. Now we're getting somewhere, aren't we, says right. Reason. It's not really that Schultz is threatening to run as an independent. It's that he's already thinking as an independent. At Barnes & Noble, he hit any number of great notes beyond fiscal responsibility. He stressed the need for economic mobility, made a practical and humanitarian case for immigration, questioned both Trump's and the earlier president's foreign policy as reckless and open-ended, and mostly he was raising topics for actual debate, rather than as occasions to bark out increasingly shrill or stupid talking points. He was at times emotional, but never shouty or irrational, and he also stressed that voters who identify as independent are the single largest group.
That they are.
And that is absolutely true. It's true, definitely true here in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. It's true across the country.
Right. The independent voters here are the plurality of the voters, and it's a strong plurality.
Yes.
There's far more independents in New Hampshire. They're called undeclareds here than Republicans and Democrats.
But nationwide, that's how it goes.
Because people are sick of it. They're sick of these Republicans and Democrats. And this guy has them livid. So he's got my support so far.
So far.
Yeah, I don't care about his opinions. I just love that he's got him livid. And some of his opinions are right on.
I'm a Howard Rourke man.
Well, we're done for tonight, but back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget to check out our Twitch channel and follow us there at twitch.lrn.fm. And thank you, everybody. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.